Alrighty, here we go. It's a good privilege to be with y'all tonight. I've never liked that thing. I've never liked stuff being in my face, so I'll use the lapel tonight. If you would, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll start reading in verse 18 there. While you're turning there tonight, give you some time to turn there. Before I begin tonight, before I start preaching, it's an honor and a privilege to be back at this church, and my wife the same way, to be back here serving y'all and helping y'all out here. And a couple years ago, my dad came to me and asked me, sat me down, and about my between my sophomore year, right after we had gotten married. And he asked me, you know, I'm putting it out there on the table. He told me, you know, he wants God, you know, to lead me wherever I go. And he doesn't want to force me into anything, but he just put the offer out and said, hey, we want you to come be assistant pastor at our church and help out there and soul win and do what you can there. And he's always said he wants God to lead me. He's always said he wants me to be in God's will wherever God wants me. And I truly believe that if I'm not supposed to be here, then I'm supposed to be somewhere else, and I'd rather be in the middle of Africa in God's will than in my comfort zone in America out of God's will. And my dad 100% supports that. And a few things before I begin tonight, Lord's laid on my heart just to tell the church is, number one, I am honored and privileged. My wife, Allie, is honored and privileged to work with y'all and to serve y'all. But I believe there's two positions in the local New Testament church, two jobs that are in the local New Testament church. And I've been taught this in college and by Brother Wilkerson up there. And he said that the one position is to be the pastor, and the second position is to help the pastor. And I believe that I'm here to help the pastor. I'm not here to overtake him, and I'm not here to address issues to the church. That's his job. That's all up to pastor, and that's what his job is to do and for. I'm just here to help him out. And I think the same thing to all the deacons and all the men here and all the ladies here, is that's what your job is too, is just to help the pastor out. And I truly believe that this church does that to the utmost 100% with their ability, and they do that. And I'm not the man who's supposed to go behind his back and to do wrong, something that he would not allow me to do. And I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to be loyal to him as he is loyal to God. And I truly believe that that's what my job is here as an assistant pastor, is to help him and help y'all out and to be a blessing to y'all and to be a help to y'all. And I don't ever want anyone to think that me and my wife don't love them in this church. And, you know, from the smallest little girl in the nursery all the way to the oldest person in this church, me and my wife love each and every one of y'all. And there's not a person in this church that I look down upon, or, you know, no matter what you've been through. You know, I haven't been here in a hot minute, so I don't know what everyone's going through tonight. But those are just some things. And another thing is I love to preach. I love to share the Word of God with people. And I've been 4 years at Bible college up at Hiles Anderson College. And it's a great place to be. They taught me how to preach and how to win souls. And, you know, I think the greatest blessing that they've taught me up there is my weekends. It's Saturday and Sunday. And, you know, if I went throughout my college life and I didn't go on weekends, Saturday soul winning or Sunday to church, my degree would be absolutely worthless. And if I were to go back, I could throw my degree in the trash, but I'd still be there on Saturday and Sunday. That's what was worth it to me. That's what helped me out the most, was going into Cicero and seeing those bus kids there and picking them up early Sunday morning. And I mean, you would not believe the homes that they have to live in. You know, Oklahoma City's a pretty nice area compared to Chicagoland area and the Democrat-run city, and I've seen kids with just their bed is just black, covered in black. They don't have a sheet on their bed, and they sleep on that every night. And you know, I love the bus ministry. I love the bus kids. I love bringing people to church. I love soul winning. And I think that's what we're supposed to do. I think that's what God wants us to do, is everyone's supposed to be soul winning. Everyone's supposed to be helping someone every single week of their life to get someone out of hell, to help get someone out of that pit called hell. And just some things before I preach tonight, but let's go ahead and get in the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, we'll start reading there. We'll read down to verse 25. It says, "Therefore, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Verse 20 says, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God," this is my text verse in verse 21, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Let's pray before we begin tonight. Dear Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. And Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to wake up another day and to enjoy the wonderful amenities and the freedoms that we have here in America, Lord, where we can come and worship. And Lord God, I think of many countries who don't have that freedom, and many, many people have been put in jail, Lord God, for doing what we can do tonight in America and having that freedom. And Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for a church that still preaches the Bible, who still believes in standards and convictions. And Lord God, thank you, Lord, for this church. And thank you, Lord, for the many people in this church, Lord God, who loved me and who cared for me as I was growing up here. And Lord God, I just want to be a help and a blessing to the people tonight. And Lord God, I don't know their needs. I don't know their burdens. I don't know what's on their heart tonight, but you do. And Lord God, I ask and I pray that you would help them tonight. Help me, Lord God, to be a blessing. Give me the words to say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. I'll read that verse again. It says, "Therefore, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." And if you have a pen or if you have a marker there, you can mark this next phrase. It says, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And I marked that in my Bible there. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I would say the title of my sermon tonight would be probably "Foolish Preaching." Now you may say, what in the world are you talking about? There's no message that's foolish. And there's no message that's foolish that's right. Well, just listen to me real quick and I'll get there. But I'll talk to you about foolish preaching. My dad was telling me the story of how my great-grandpa came from Sweden or Norway, and how he came across those seas, came to Chicago, and he had a son, which would be my dad's dad and my grandpa. And he was in Chicago, and there was a man that was preaching. And there was a man that was preaching, shedding the light in Chicago, and his name was Paul Rader. And Paul Rader, my grandpa went to one of those, Paul Rader Tabernacle, when he was preaching there in Chicago, and he got saved. And his wife got saved. They got saved, and they started going to church, and they started to do what's right. But he would have never, ever gotten saved if there wasn't a man to stand behind the pulpit and preach the Word of God. And Paul's saying here in this chapter, it says, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." I think of the world, I think of the devil, I think of the place down the street and Walmart and people at their homes tonight, and they think what we're doing tonight at church is foolish. They think what we're doing when a man of God gets behind the pulpit and he preaches that it's foolish. It's something that's dumb. We don't want it in our country anymore. We don't want it in our schools anymore. We don't want it in our homes anymore. And they think that it's foolish preaching. That's what they think. That's what they have in their minds. And they think that the bus ministry is foolish. They think that picking up kids and bringing them to church and helping their souls get out of a pit called hell, they think that's worthless. They think it's foolish. They think it's ridiculous of what you're doing each and every day. But we've had a generation of lost preaching. We've had a generation of preachers, of men who won't get up and who will preach the blessed word of God. Men of God who won't get up and will preach on salvation. Men of God who won't answer the call. Teenagers who won't answer the call. Young people who won't answer the call. People who won't go to the mission field. People who won't be laymen in the church. People who like to watch the Super Bowl over going to church. People who like to text and call and go to parties over church. But they don't know that there's something when you come to church that you don't get when you're sitting at home or when you're at those parties. And that's the foolishness of preaching. And that's what they think. They think that preaching is just a bunch of baloney. They think that preaching is just you're off your rocker and you don't know what you're talking about. But there's coming a day in heaven when they'll realize and they stand before God. And they know that when they came to church that one Sunday and they heard that preacher preach and they said, that's foolish. I'm never going to come back. I'm never going to listen to him. And they stand before an almighty God and they say, wow, I should have listened.
Yes, sir.
I should have done what God wanted me to do. I should have listened to that preacher who got up there and who preached the blessed word of God, who preached on salvation, who preached on hell, who preached on heaven, who preached from Genesis to Revelation, to preach the whole King James Bible. And I should have listened to him. And then God says to them, depart from me, for I never knew you. And they get cast into an eternal lake of fire. I'm so glad that there was a preacher man who stood behind the pulpit and preached so that my grandpa could be saved. I'm so glad that when I was about a 10-year-old boy sitting on this back pew back here, that after church my dad was preaching, and he preached hard, and he preached good, and it was on an Easter Sunday, and my heart was convicted, and my hands were sweaty, and I knew I was not saved as an 11-year-old boy. And after the service, we had an Easter egg hunt. And I said, you know what? I can't go to that Easter egg hunt. I got to get saved. And I walked up those steps. I remember it, walking up those steps. And I opened my dad's office door. And I told him, I said, Dad, I need to be saved. Amen. And I knelt right there at that office up there. And I got saved as an 11-year-old boy. Amen. But I wouldn't have gotten saved if it wasn't for a preacher who stood behind the pulpit and who preached the word of God. I would have never have gotten saved. I remember as a 12-year-old boy, the year after, at missions conference, Dr. Bob Smith got behind this pulpit and he preached the word of God and he preached it hot and he preached it heavy and he preached it and it convicted my soul. And I knew in my heart that God had called me to pastor. God had called me to preach. And I walked down that aisle and I grabbed my dad by the hand and I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, Dad, I know God's calling me to preach. I need to surrender my life to preach. But I would never ever have done that if there wasn't a preacher that would have stood behind the pulpit and that would have preached the word of God. Amen. You see, I think everyone in this room can testify that there was probably a preacher, that there was probably a mom, there was probably a dad, there was probably someone in their life that helped them come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I bet most of us in this room remember a preacher when he stood behind the pulpit. And what Paul's saying here is that the foolishness, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. I don't care if it pleases people from what I preach. I don't care if as long as I'm up here preaching, I'm going to preach because God wants me to preach. Amen. I'm not here to please men. I'm not here to please ladies. I'm not here to please people on this earth. I'm here to honor and glorify God with all my life. And that's what I want to do. And it's the foolishness of preaching that'll pull your kids out of hell. It's the foolishness of preaching that'll help save that lost one that you've been praying for, that you've been visiting for on Saturday. Get them into church. The preaching will convict their heart. It'll save their soul, and Jesus will speak to them. If they're not in church, Jesus can still speak to them, but there's something about preaching. There's something about the blessed word of God that when someone comes to church, they hear the word of God, and they get conviction, and they come down to an old-fashioned altar, and they get their life saved, and they get it settled with God. It can help that loved one who's wandered, maybe in a different church or different denomination. Keep praying for them, and keep bringing, if you want to help them come to church, because the preaching of God will save their soul from hell. The blessed word of God will help them get out of hell. And what we need is the foolishness of preaching. You say, why would we need foolish preaching? That makes absolutely zero sense. Well, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. It pleased God. It didn't please man. The Greeks and the Jews said, we don't need that. There's no way on earth that preaching is going to save us from this earth. There's no way on earth that that man who's shouting and hollering behind that pulpit, and what he's a crazy wild man, you know, Billy Sunday used to run miles during his sermon and go crazy, you know, and that people look at that as being foolish and being weird and being awkward, and you know, it's a lost, it's something that's lost in our country nowadays. You know, preaching is something that, you know, I think of some men that they get up and they so-called preach, and they want to get behind, sit on their stool, and they wear their flip-flops, and they wear their Hawaiian t-shirt, and they sit there and they give you a 15-minute lecture on Oprah or something like that, and they tell you to go home, and that's all you get for the week. And there's no conviction. There's no standards. There's nothing biblical about that. And they do that because it pleases them and it doesn't please God. But it's the foolishness of preaching that'll help save someone from a pit called hell. I love the altar call. I love after church service we have an altar call because it helps kids realize, it helps adults realize to come to the altar, that because when they get convicted from the preaching of the Word of God, that they know that they can get saved. They have somewhere where they can go. They can be saved. They can surrender their life to be a missionary. They can volunteer to be a pastor or a preacher. They can do these things. But it's by the foolishness of preaching is what got them there. And it's by the Word of God and God who brought them down that aisle, and from a man of God who stood behind the pulpit and who preached this foolish preaching in order to get them down that aisle. I hope there's not someone in here tonight who's saying that's the preaching. You know, when Pastor Larson preaches, that's just, when he preaches on standards, I like to tune out, and I don't listen to that. When he preaches on salvation, I don't like to dabble in that. You know, when it's something that convicts my soul, I don't like to dabble in that. I it goes in one ear and out the other, and then I go on Monday morning and I live it up for the world, and I go on Tuesday and I'm a backslidden Christian. But then when I come on Sunday, he preaches the word and it convicts your heart. It convicts your soul. It convicts you. Just like how I walked down that aisle was because there was a preacher who would stand behind the pulpit. And I'm pretty sure that's a testimony to everyone in this church service tonight, is that there was a foolish preacher who got behind this pulpit and who preached the word of God, who preached salvation, who preached Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead, who preached it, and he gave the word, and he gave the book, and he preached from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and he kept going throughout the book, and he preached it book by book, and it convicted your soul, and it convicted your heart, and it helped you out so very much, and it's, you see, as your children, I pray every single day for my daughter to be saved when she comes to the age of accountability, but if I don't have her in church, those chances go plummet down. Because it's the foolishness of preaching that'll convict her heart to save her from a sinful world. And I look at the end of that verse, it says there also, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save the unlost, to save those who are not lost, to save those who have not accepted Jesus Christ, but it says to save them that believe. Now, almost every single person in this room is probably a saved, born-again Christian in this church. I don't know. That's between you and God, but I believe so. But it's to save them that believe. I mean, why would we say, oh, man, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Whoop-de-doo. I don't get to go to hell. No, that's not how I am. I'm so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus even, he loves me. He loves me. And he wants you to go to heaven. And salvation is something that you should not be so apathetic about. Salvation is something that you should get excited about. Something that you should say amen about. Something that you should praise the Lord about every single day. Is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and the salvation of Jesus Christ. And there are many in here that believe, but the foolishness of preaching will still help you. You say, oh, I'm already saved, so I don't need that preaching. I don't need that. I'm saved. I'm good. I got it all going on. I've got a great job. I've got good family. You know, I've got a nice pickup truck. I've got all that going on. Just wait till God starts taking that stuff away one by one.
Yeah.
And all you've got left is the church. All you've got left is that preacher who preached behind the pulpit, and he came to your house and he knocked on your door and he told you about Jesus and you didn't listen. It's the old time preachers who will help save your soul from hell. It's not some new evangelical stuff that people want to do. It's not some contemporary Christian rock music that they want to bring into the churches nowadays. That stuff does not get anyone saved. I guarantee you, if you walk down to Life Church and ask them how many people they had saved last Sunday or the Sunday before that or this past year, they'd say almost none. Because it doesn't bring conviction. It doesn't bring satisfaction to those people's souls. And they like to incorporate the world into the church. Listen, the Bible says get hot or get cold. The Bible says, I work rather thou not work lukewarm. I rather thou work hot or cold. Don't be a lukewarm Christian. Don't be such a gray Christian. Get in or get out. Get on or get off. Get up or get down. One or the other. So don't be one of those Christians who's a lukewarm Christian. But the foolishness of preaching, if you've got any children in this room tonight, that's what will help them save them from a pit called hell, is the foolishness of preaching. And the world calls it foolishness. That's what Paul's talking about here, is the people are criticizing Paul and all those apostles and saying, you know what? We don't need the preaching. We don't need that. But it was the foolishness of the preacher that pleased God. You see, I've told people before, if I'm the last one on earth, if I'm the last person on earth and there's no one in this building, I'll still preach.
Amen.
I'll still go soul winning. I'll still read my Bible. I'll still do right.
Yep.
I think it was Dr. Bob Jones said, do right till the stars fall. Do right till the stars fall, no matter what happens. Do right every single day of your life until Jesus Christ comes back. Do right. I remember as a little boy coming to church with my older brother Taylor, and when this church was a lot smaller, actually, of people. And I remember a Wednesday night, and we came over to church, and there was no one here. No one had come to church except for me and my family, and my six siblings were here. And me and Taylor looked at each other, and we said, why are we having church? Why are we going to church? Well, there's no one here, Dad. Like, why would we go to church? And my dad said, no, we're going to church no matter what. He said, we're coming to the building, and we're going to preach, and we're going to hear the word of God. And my dad stood behind this pulpit, and he preached to that. We were sitting here on the second row. He preached to his family on the second row. And I remember that as a little boy. And he didn't do it to please men. He didn't do it to please me. He did it to please God, because he knew that we needed that preaching. And he wanted to send a message to me to say that church is important.
Yeah.
Going to church on Sunday, going to church on Wednesday, going to church, going soul winning, prayer time, Bible reading, all of that is important.
Amen.
And he preached hot, and he preached heavy. And how do you think Dwight L. Moody became the man he was because there was probably a preacher who preached to him, and he got saved.
Amen.
Same with Billy Sunday, same with Jonathan Edwards, same with many men of God. Was the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ changed their life. And it was the foolishness of a man who got behind the pulpit and he preached Jesus Christ crucified. He preached. He preached on salvation. He preached on prayer. He preached on sin. He preached on how you shouldn't lie. You preached on how you shouldn't kill. You preached on how you should not covet. He preached on all those things, and it convicted people's hearts, and it helped them out tremendously. And you may be sitting here tonight, and maybe a pastor may preach a message that convicts your heart. Well, maybe you should lay it down on an old-fashioned altar so it's not a conviction anymore. You got it settled. You got it saved. You say, oh, I don't like that standard. I don't want to keep that standard. Is it biblical? Maybe you should lay it down on an old-fashioned altar and get that standard. Maybe you should. But it's the foolishness of the preaching. And you say, why do you keep saying it's the foolishness of preaching? Well, that's what it says here. Because that's what the world thinks we're doing tonight.
Yep.
That's what the world thinks by you coming to church every single night of Wednesday night, Sunday morning. I mean, they think of you driving a van or driving a bus as absolute insanity.
Yep.
And why would you live your weekends for the Lord when you could go out and live it up for the devil? When you could go out and party and you could be working, you could be doing something else. But no, you give your time to God on Sundays. You give your time to God on Wednesday nights. And it was because someone taught you from the Bible. It was a preacher who got behind the pulpit and who taught you from the King James Bible. And he showed you how you can be saved. And he showed you how you can know you're on your way to heaven. And he saved me from a pit called hell. And he saved me from hell. And he preached on heaven. And he preached on Jesus Christ dying on the cross to save me. He didn't preach on some pope getting up and sprinkling you with water that said that you would get saved from doing that. No, he didn't preach on that. But when he preached on these things and he preached on salvation, and I remember walking up those steps and I knelt there, and the satisfaction, the hole that was filled in my heart as an 11-year-old boy was because the man of God got behind the pulpit and he preached something foolish that the world thinks is foolish. Now, I don't think it's foolish. I don't believe it's foolish for 1 minute. And many of y'all out there say, well, it's that you're right, Brother Titus. I don't believe it's foolish. Well, then make sure you're following what the Bible says. If it's not something that's foolish, then make sure you follow the Bible. Make sure you follow your pastor as he leads from the Lord. Be loyal to him as he's loyal to the Lord. But the foolishness of preaching saved your soul from a pit called hell. From a place, you were headed to a place called hell. Same with me, a sinner saved by grace. But I'm so thankful that he preached on Jesus dying on that old rugged cross. And I'm so thankful that there's a man who will go out on Saturday and who will knock on doors and who will tell people about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and how he would tell you and he preached to you and you came to church and you grew up. And I don't know many of y'all's backgrounds today. You know, many of y'all may have not come from a loving church family or a preacher who preached. Maybe you come from a home where a mom or a dad, they showed you the Bible. And they had to do it secretly or something because they were afraid of their husband beating them or something. I don't know what the background is. And they showed you from the Bible how you could be saved, and you got saved. And you grew up, and you went to church, and how the glorious gospel and how the foolishness of preaching convicted your soul and how it helped you out so much. And I'll say it again, the world thinks it's foolish what we're doing tonight. The world thinks it's foolish what you do on Saturdays, what you do on Sundays, and how you get off work and you tell your boss, hey, I got to be off by 5 or 6 o'clock so I can make it to church at 7 on Wednesday. And he looks at you like you're crazy. But trust me, I'll guarantee you your boss will start asking questions. Amen. I guarantee you he'll say, why are you so zealous about that preaching? That's foolishness. That's something I would never dabble in. But he'll start asking questions, and slowly, through you, he may be saved. He may come to church. He could be the next Billy Sunday. He could be the next Dwight L. Moody. He could be the next Brother Wilkerson. He could be the next Pastor Larson. He could be the next Brother Treber. He could be one of those preachers who gets behind the pulpit and who preaches good, and he convicts the souls of men. And I'll just end with this tonight, is that I'm so thankful that the man of God would stand behind the pulpit and who would preach to me. Because if he hadn't have done that to my grandfather, I don't know where I'd be today. Yep. Amen. I could be in the slums of Chicago doing weed and drugs and alcohol. I could be doing all that, living it up, going to parties and drinking, living it up. But I'm so glad that there was a man who had the gumption to stand behind the pulpit and to tell him like it is. And to tell them the foolishness of preaching is good for you. That there's something in the Bible that'll help your soul. That there's something in the Bible that should stir you up. And how he preaches and how he got saved. And it's passed down to my dad. And then my dad is passed down to me. And now he's got grandchildren it's being passed down to. Amen. You see, the gospel just spreads. The gospel doesn't sit still. The gospel, once you plant that seed, it grows. And it keeps growing. And it keeps growing. And then you have more seeds that keep growing. And they keep growing. You plant that seed, and someday it's going to grow. Just wait and see. But I am so thankful that there was a man of God who would preach the King James Bible, even when no one came to church, even when there wasn't a big crowd, even on his high days, even on his low days, when maybe the man of God would get behind the pulpit and he'd work all day long and he'd get here at by 6:30 just to provide for his family, and then he'd preach the blessed word of God. And he doesn't do that for people. He doesn't do that to please y'all. He does it to please God. Because when people aren't in the building, then he's not going to preach it. But if he does it to please God, when people aren't in the building, he's going to still do it to please God. And I'm so thankful that there's men of God still nowadays, and there's very few of them that'll stand behind the pulpit and preach. But I'm so thankful that there's still men who will get behind the pulpit, who will tell people like it is, who will tell Christians, who will tell this unsaved world to repent of their sin and do what's right, and Jesus can forgive you of your sin, and you can have a life in Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that there was a preacher who gave that to me. And, you know, maybe sometimes you should tell your preacher, hey, Pastor, I think, I know that's a hot topic, and a lot of people don't like to speak on that topic of that kind of standard that you made in church. But thank you, Pastor, for preaching that, because that's what our country needs. That's what my child needed when she or he was sitting on the pew. He needed that. He needed that conviction in his heart. And I'm so thankful, preacher, for that. Thank you for preaching the Bible. Thank you for doing that. Let's all bow our head, close our eyes.